If you will be turning in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. We will read there in just a moment. Certainly is good to be back with you all this afternoon. I hope everyone had a good afternoon, a good restful afternoon. Certainly thankful for your presence here tonight and your interest in spiritual things. Especially thankful for those of you that might be visiting tonight. I see several faces that are visiting that are familiar to me, and I also see some that are not familiar to me. We are thankful for all of you and hope that you will come back as you have opportunity. Our regular preacher, John Gibson, he is away at a meeting this week, and the elders have asked me to fill in tonight for him. I'm thankful that they have offered me this opportunity to prepare a lesson from God's Word and to present it to you tonight. I'd like to express to you, I don't take opportunities like this lightly. The nature of the things that we are discussing is very serious, so I take it very seriously. I also want to express to you, this is the first time that I've been able to speak here since we've placed membership about a year ago. I just want to say that Karen and I are very thankful to be members at this congregation. We've been here about a year, like I said, and we truly feel like we're among family, and you are to thank for that. And how you've encouraged us this past year. I also want to apologize in advance for any rust that I may have when it comes to presenting a lesson. I can't remember exactly how long, and until I went to Ardmore last Sunday, it's been at least a year since I've presented a lesson. It's been before Randy was born, and he had his birthday Friday, so it's been a little while. But I enjoyed preparing this lesson. I hope it will be an encouragement to you. This year, our elders decided to have us focus on the subject of faith. And we've had some great lessons so far this year on that subject, either touching or centering on the topic of faith. This lesson is going to continue that theme of reviewing the subject of faith. Also, in addition to that, Karen and I in our home studies have been going through the book of Joshua. And I honestly, as I've gone through it, I can't remember if we've ever studied the book of Joshua, or at least if I've studied the book of Joshua as an adult. So it's been really cool. Karen and I have really enjoyed discussing some of the things that we've noticed as we've gone through the book. In our lesson tonight, what I want us to do is I want to take a look at some of the events that happened in the book of Joshua. When I first started preparing this lesson, I thought I might take several throughout the book of Joshua. But as I got into it, I realized I needed to narrow my scope or we'd be here all night. So take a look at particularly some events that happened around the city of Jericho in the first few chapters of the book of Joshua. And I want to relate that to our theme of faith this year. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we know this passage. The Hebrew writer says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." So the Hebrew writer tells us that faith is necessary, that it includes the idea of the belief in the existence of God, and it also involves trusting that God rewards those who seek him. One of the best definitions of faith that I've ever heard is that it is confidence that God will do what he said he would do if you do what he told you to do. And when we take a look at the examples of faith at Jericho, you're going to see that mindset from these people. We're going to see that when we have faith in God, we trust and we have confidence in it. So with these thoughts in mind, let's take a look at some examples of faith that we find in the narrative of the book of Joshua surrounding the city of Jericho. The first example we find is here in Joshua chapter 2. Let's read the first few verses of Joshua chapter 2. "And Joshua the son of Nun sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, 'Go view the land, especially Jericho.' And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, 'Behold, the men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land.' Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land.' But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, 'True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them.' But she had brought them up to the roof and had hidden them with stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out." So shortly before the passage we just read in Joshua chapter 2, so in Joshua chapter 1, this was shortly after the death of Moses, Joshua was appointed to be the leader of the Israelites. And at the beginning of Joshua chapter 2, one of the first things that we read about Joshua doing was that he sent two men into the land to spy out the land. So they're on the eastern side of the Jordan River, and they're about to cross the Jordan River to go to the promised land. And he sends them in to spy out the land before they go in, and particularly he wanted them to check out Jericho. Jericho was going to be one of the first cities that they came to after they crossed the Jordan. In Joshua chapter 2 and verse 2, the two spies, they come into the home of a prostitute, and her name was Rahab. It says that they stayed there. The king of Jericho had learned that the spies were going to be among the city that night, so he sent some men to inquire about this and ask her to turn over the men. Notice real quick Rahab's reaction to the king's request. First, she had already hit the spies. And then she also says that she covered for them by telling them that they had come, but that they had already escaped and left. And then she also sent the men away kind of on a wild chase, if you will, without any specific direction of where the spies might have gone. Why didn't she turn over the spies? You know, by human logic, if you think about it, these spies, they posed a threat to her, her family, and the city where she lived. And with rumors that the Israelites were coming to attack the city, in my mind, that would have been the natural reaction. So why did she do what she did? She explains the reasons for her actions. Pick up reading in verse 8. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath." So after the king's men had left, and they had pursued the spies out of the city in vain, Rahab, she goes up on the roof where she had hidden the spies, and she provides a reason for why she did what she did. She starts out by telling them, "I know that the Lord has given you this land." She explains that the people were afraid because they had heard of all the great things that God had done for the Israelites out in the wilderness. God had helped the people, she mentioned, escape the Egyptians on dry ground by parting the waters at the Red Sea. God had helped them gain victory against the Amorites. Specifically mentions the kings Sihon and Og. She knew that nothing could stand in the way of God's will. She says at the end of verse 11, "For the Lord your God, He is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath." Verses 12 through 14, she goes on to make a request that her family would be spared from the attack. And the spies agree to this wholeheartedly because of the way that she had treated them. She helps them to get out of the city in verses 15 and 16. And then over the next few verses, the spies give her instructions. Make sure that you put a scarlet cord in your window. Make sure that your family is inside so that they will be spared during the attack. A few observations that I want to make. This is a story that's, I learned growing up, and some of the kids probably could tell it to you a whole lot better than I did just now. But there's several observations that I made specifically concerning Rahab's faith going through that account. First, we see that Rahab, she had faith based on evidence. Nathan Pepper talked about that a few weeks ago, about the idea of faith based in evidence. It was a great lesson. If you weren't here, make sure you go back and listen to that. But notice what she says when she was giving her explanation to the spies. In verse 10, she says, "For we have heard." She talked about what she had learned of God from information that would have been given by witnesses of what God had done in the wilderness for the Israelites. She wasn't an eyewitness, as far as we know, of God's work in delivering Israel, but she still had faith in Him and His ability to deliver on His promises because she had heard what He had done for Israel. The lesson for us is we should have faith based in evidence. While we're not eyewitnesses of the events of the Bible, we can still have faith in God. You know, John wrote about this this exact thing when he was writing in John chapter 20. He wrote down the fact that his eyewitness testimony was written down so that people could read it, they could believe in it, and they could believe in Jesus because of it. He says in verse 31 of John 20, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." Paul also said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." We can have faith in Jesus based on evidence, based on the evidence of the testimony of Christ's witnesses. Also, secondly, in regards to Rahab's faith, Rahab put her trust in God over man for her security. In the book of Hebrews, which we read in our scripture reading, I appreciate that, the writer notes, specifically points to Rahab as one that demonstrated an example of faith worthy of mention, among many other examples of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, what we read earlier, it says, "By faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies." People of Jericho, what did they put their trust in? They put their trust in their walls and in their strength. They perished. Had Rahab put her trust in man, she and her family would have perished as well. But Rahab knew the benefit of being on God's side, and she put her trust in Him instead. When the city of Jericho falls later in Joshua chapter 6, because of Rahab's faith, her and her family were delivered from the destruction of the city. The question for us is our trust in God, or is it in man? And truth be told, the best answer to that is going to be based on how do we live our lives? Where is our priority? Let's make sure that our trust is in God. Let's make sure that we are on His side, just as Rahab wanted to be on God's side. Thirdly, Rahab's faith resulted in action. In James chapter 2, when James was discussing the relationship between faith and works, he points out Rahab specifically as an example of one that acted as the result of her faith. He says in verse 25 of James 2, "And in the same way was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way." While we were discussing the narrative of Joshua chapter 2, we noted specifically that Rahab's faith in God caused her to act in a way that was contrary to human logic. Under normal circumstances, Rahab would have turned over the spies because they posed a threat. But her faith caused her to change her mindset and to act differently than what would be typical. She hid the spies. She helped keep them safe. She also followed the instructions of the spies by tying a scarlet cord, we see later, and keeping her family inside to be safe from the attack. Because she had acted in faith, later in Joshua 6, when the city was being destroyed, it says, "But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive." Does our faith result in action like it did with Rahab? Sad thing is there are many in the world that teach this false doctrine that you are saved at the point that you believe in Jesus to be the Son of God, yet they don't live their lives any differently than they had prior to their confession of faith. James chapter 2 and verse 14 asks a very rhetorical question when it says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him?" And that question just begs the answer of no. That faith cannot save him. The Bible does teach us that we are saved by grace through faith. However, it also teaches us that those with faith in God, they obey Him. If you claim to believe in God, but it does not have an effect on your actions, that is not the type of faith that is prescribed in the Bible. That is dead faith that James 2 talks about. Biblical faith is a working faith. Finally, in regards to Rahab's faith caused her to overcome her sinful circumstances and follow God. We read in Joshua chapter 2 and also in Hebrews chapter 11, when the Hebrew writer was talking about her faith, we read that she was a prostitute. So not only was she someone that was in sin, but her profession was in itself sinful. But her faith in God changed her heart. When she was talking to the spies, notice what she did. She confessed how great God was. While the pagan city that she was a part of was destroyed, she was delivered as the result of her faith. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 25 talks about how she would go on to live among the Israelites after her family was delivered. We know from the Bible that she married an Israelite named Salmon, and together they had a son named Boaz. That name should sound familiar from the story of Ruth. According to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5, she also found herself in the ancestry of Jesus Christ. Even though she had a sinful past, her faith changed her life in such a way that when we get past her life in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hebrew writer looks to her as an example of faith. The lesson for us is that faith changes somebody in sin. There are countless examples of people in the Bible who had a very sinful and worldly past, and yet having faith in God, it changed their lives. Paul the Apostle comes to mind. He was a murderer of Christians. And when he found faith in God, he turned his life around to not persecute Christians, but be the Christian that was persecuted. He wrote in the epistles about how we can be freed from sin and forgiven in Christ. Rahab is an excellent example of someone that acted based on faith in God. With her help, the spies, they were given safe passage to report back to the Israelites before they would enter the land of Canaan. How thankful we should be that faith in God can have such a dramatic impact on someone. Speaking of the spies, they're also a great example of faith. Let's pick up reading at the end of chapter 2. Let's read verse 22 through the end of the chapter. It says, they departed and went into the hills and remained there 3 days until the pursuers returned. And the pursuers searched all along the way and found nothing. Then the two men returned. They came down from the hills and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun. And they told him all that had happened to them. And they said to Joshua, truly the Lord has given us all the land into our hands. And also all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us. Back about 40 years previous to this, in Numbers chapter 13 and 14, when the Israelites, they were at Kadesh Barnea, you remember they were about to enter the land of Canaan, and they sent in 12 spies to spy out the land, very similar to what happened here in Joshua 2. And you remember that the majority of the Israelites, they showed a lack of faith by listening to 10 of the spies, 10 of the wicked spies, who said that they could not overcome the Canaanites. When we get here to the end of Joshua chapter 2, we see a major contrast between these two spies and the 10 wicked spies in Numbers 13 and 14. Their report was more like the report that Joshua and Caleb had given years before. An observation that obviously comes to mind when you read the account of the report of these spies is that faith produces confidence. These spies, they were confident that they could take the land. What a difference that faith can make in the attitude of one that has trials and obstacles. A lack of faith led to a lack of confidence in the older generation of the Israelites. However, these spies, they knew that God superseded any obstacle when it came to His promises. Look at what they said. Verse 24, truly the Lord has given all the land into our hands, and also all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us. Also, a few verses prior to that, when the spies were having their discussion with Rahab, notice what they said in verse 14. Then when the Lord gives us the land, not if the Lord gives us the land, may the Lord give us the when the Lord gives us the land. These spies were confident that it was God that was going to give them the land. Does our faith produce confidence? You know, God has promised us eternal life if we are faithful to Him, just as He promised the Israelites the land of Canaan. Jesus told us that if we believe and are baptized, we will be saved. The Bible talks a great deal about the concept of having confidence in God's promises. Over in 1 John chapter 5, the verses I have behind me on the overhead, John writes, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. I fear that sometimes Christians walk around with this mindset that they hope they are saved, but they are somehow unsure. That concept is not biblical. Our faith should produce confidence in God's promises, especially, brethren, especially concerning our salvation. Faith produced confidence in the spies. It should as for us as well. Moving on, turn over, if you will, to Joshua chapter 6. The third example I want to look at is the trust that was demonstrated by the Israelites at Jericho. So the people, they spied out the land in Joshua chapter 2. They came back and gave their report. Now we're ready to take the land. Between Joshua 3 and 5, the people, they crossed the Jordan River and they enter the land of Canaan. Now it's a time to attack Jericho. So let's read about that in Joshua chapter 6. Let's pick up in verse 1. It says, "Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus you shall do for 6 days. Seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets, and when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout. And the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every one straight before him.'" So in verse 1, we see that Jericho was on lockdown. They were prepared to defend against an invasion. If you don't know about the city of Jericho, they're known for the walls that they had around their city, the well-fortified walls that they had to protect them against a situation such as this. Ooh, that was a tongue twister. God, the commander of the Lord's army, he gives instructions. The men of war, they were to march around the city of Jericho once a day for 6 days. There were supposed to be 7 priests carrying trumpets. As you see later in the text, they would blow these trumpets continually. On the 7th day, they were to march around the city 7 times. It says the priests would blow the trumpets, the people would shout, and the walls would fall down flat. The Israelites did just as God commanded. They marched around the city once a day for 6 days. Then we get to the 7th day. They marched around the city 7 times, just as God had prescribed for them to do. And the trumpets were blown. Joshua gave them instructions to shout and take the city. And when they did this, the mighty walls of Jericho fell down flat. Jericho was theirs for the taking. It says that they took the city and they devoted it to destruction. And the 2 spies also went in and saved Rahab and her family, just as they had promised that they would do earlier. A couple of observations I want to make about this account in Joshua 6. First, the Israelites' faithful behavior, it would have seemed strange to the world. You know, you have to wonder. I don't think I thought about this when I was growing up, learning about this story. But as an adult, reflecting on this, you ever wonder what the people of Jericho thought of all this? The Israelites walking around their city day by day. The text talking about how they would blow their trumpets continually. I didn't mention this earlier, but they were also carrying the Ark of the Covenant. It would have been kind of peculiar to watch. I imagine they may have even looked out and called out and made fun of them at times. By human logic, the Israelites, they had a really poor strategy for taking the city. The people of Israel, though, they did as God said because he promised them that they would take the city. How does that apply to us? Sometimes our faith will cause us to do things that may seem strange to the world. You know, outside the context of the Bible, baptism, that we talk about often, it's just getting wet outside the context of the commands of God. Eating unleavened bread and taking grape juice, which we do during the Lord's Supper, to the world, that just looks like a lacking meal. Assembling, as we've done tonight, singing songs of praise to someone that we can't see physically, that would seem odd. I think of all the things that we do, praying, if viewed by someone without faith, is likely one of the strangest things of all. And yet, all the things I just mentioned are so very powerful because of the faith that we have in God. Our faith will cause us to do things that may seem strange to the world, but we do them because we have faith and we trust in God. Also, The Israelites' trust in God, it led to their success. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30 says, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days." We often sing the song in our books. I think it's number 655. I can't remember exactly, but the first verse of that song, of the walls came tumbling down, says the Lord told Joshua to go to Jericho and to march 7 times around. He followed faithfully the blessed Lord's command, and the walls came tumbling down. As we noted, their strategy, it made absolutely no sense militarily. They did nothing to physically attack the wall that protected the people of Jericho. You know, the people could have looked at this situation. They could have tried to take matters into their own hands. They could have tried to attack the city directly. They could have tried to sneak in and get them from the inside out. But they didn't. They chose to do exactly as God commanded them. They trusted in God to take care of them. And as a result, God gave them the victory. God's strange method made it very clear that it was Him who gave them the victory. We should put our trust in God. When it comes to our salvation, we know the reality. We've sinned, we've fallen short of the glory of God, and because of our sin, we deserve death, according to Romans 3 and Romans 6. You know, some may take matters into their own hands. They may follow the strategy of trying to follow the law perfectly so that they may earn their salvation. Emphasis on that word, earn salvation. And this is the strategy that the Pharisees took. They trusted in their works for salvation. But by trusting in themselves, they fell short every single time. Going back to that verse we read at the beginning of our lesson, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." We have to have faith that God will reward those who seek Him. And note, He rewards who? Those who seek Him. We have to do something to be rewarded. The Israelites, they earned absolutely nothing by walking around the walls of Jericho. However, because they put their trust in God, He gave them the victory. The same is true for us and our salvation. By following God, we earn absolutely nothing. We will never deserve salvation, but if we trust in Him, God will reward us. He promised He would, and He is faithful to that promise. So far, the examples of faith that we've seen so far at Jericho were ones worthy of exemplifying. Rahab, the spies, and the Israelites at Jericho, they all had faith that was pleasing to God. However, unfortunately, our next story, our final story, is an example of behavior that was not pleasing to God. Joshua chapter 7, the Israelites, they took an army of about 3,000 men to the city of Ai. It didn't go well. It says that they fled, and it says that 36 men among Israel, they were killed in the attack. Joshua, when he heard about the failure at Ai, it says he tore his clothes and he cried out to God. Joshua knew that if God was with the people, that they would be successful. Clearly, God was not with them in Joshua chapter 7. What was different? Back in Joshua chapter 6, when the people of Israel, they were getting their instructions before going into the city of Jericho, one of the instructions given in verse 19 says, "But all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord." When we get to Joshua chapter 7, after the battle of Jericho, we get a bad report from the writer. Verse 1, it says, "But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel." The people of Israel broke faith. Someone had not done as God had commanded. Achan had taken treasure, which was to be devoted to the treasury of the Lord. When it was determined that Achan was the one with the treasure, the punishment was very severe. You know, the people recognized that this was a sin against God. This was the reason that God was angry with them. It says that they put Achan and his family to death as the result of his sin. And then it says that God turned from His burning anger. A couple of observations that I want to make about the sin of Achan here in Joshua 7. First, Achan's faith was misplaced in worldly things. There was a great benefit to being in a covenant relationship with God. The Israelites had been promised by God that He was going to bless them, He was going to take care of them, He was going to give them victory in battle. However, Achan decided to take matters into his own hands. He wanted the physical blessings by his hand rather than by God's. Rather than trusting in God, he trusted in himself. He trusted in things of the world. And this resulted in severe punishment, his death. It cost him his life. Our faith can also be misplaced in the wrong place. Jesus talks about that over in Matthew chapter 6. You know this passage, it says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Faith is a powerful thing. It leads us and it motivates us to act. And this is true regardless of where your faith is placed. We should put our faith in spiritual things as opposed to physical things that are temporary. If we don't, the punishment is going to be severe. It's going to cost us, it will lead to our spiritual death, if you will. Also, Achan's disobedience was judged to demonstrate a breaking of faith. And this is a very important point for us to make because there are those that teach that concept of being saved without obedience. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1 said that the people of Israel, they broke faith and they were defeated because of this. And it was because of the disobedience of Achan that God had said that they had broken faith. As we saw with our other examples, there is an undeniable connection between faith and works. Those with faith in God will work according to His commands. Those that do not follow His commands are failing to trust in God. If we are disobedient to God, we demonstrate a lack of trust in God. Let's not be like Achan. Let's put our trust in God and live according to His commands. In conclusion, the book of Joshua, it's a great book. I've really enjoyed studying it so far this year. The accounts that God in His wisdom has left for us are one, you know, that they provide an excellent example for us in regards to faith. As we've seen in these examples of faith that we've studied tonight, biblical faith is based on evidence. Our faith must be in God rather than misplaced with man or with worldly things. Faith results in obedient action, and it causes us to turn from sin and rather to turn to God. Faith results in us doing things that may seem strange by human logic in order to comply with God's will. And then finally, biblical faith, it results in confidence in God's ability to deliver on His promises. We referred earlier to the song, "The Walls Came Tumbling Down." We read the first verse. And we sing this song about the example of faith that these people in Joshua had and how it resulted in God rewarding them because of their faithfulness. The last verse of that song, it connects the story of Jericho with our salvation. It says, "The Lord is calling, sinner, come to Him today. Turn from this vain world renown. If you will follow Him in faith like Joshua, walls of sin will tumble down." The Bible teaches us that if we put our faith in God, just as Joshua did, God will reward us by forgiving us of our sin. Our sin is what separates us from God, just as it separated the Israelites from God when Achan sinned. And if our desire is to have a relationship with God and to be in heaven with Him one day, we have to follow Him faithfully so that our sins can be forgiven. Tonight, are you in sin? If so, come to Him today. Turn from worldliness. Respond in faith by being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, just as God has commanded. If you do, your sins can be forgiven, and you can be in a right relationship with God. If you're here tonight and you are subject to the Lord's invitation, come forward as we stand and as we sing.